Okay.
We'll do a few pieces from the Meshech Chochma Parshas Korach. And I want to start by sharing a piece which he has on page Sameach, Shin Mem Ches. So hopefully this will be a happy piece. It's the piece that's towards the end of the right-hand column, Lo Hariosius Achad Mehem, Perk Tazayin, Pasuk Tesvav. Again, just to look inside, the rebellion against Moshe Rabbeinu has begun on the, you know, with Korach, Dothan, Vaviram, and Moshe Rabbeinu, it says in Perk Tazayin, Pasuk Tesvav, Vayichar LeMoshe Me'od, Moshe Rabbeinu was very aggrieved by the response that Dothan Aviram sent, you know, back in a very chutzpahdikah response. Vayomer al Hashem, he said to the Ribbono Shel Olam, Al Tefel Melchosam, don't turn towards their mincha, towards their offering. Lo chamor echad mehem nosotzi. I didn't even take a donkey, a single donkey of theirs. Lo hariosius achad mehem, and I didn't harm or do evil to a single one of them, as achad mehem. So, again, the way we just translated the pasuk, lo hariosius achad mehem, I haven't harmed a single one of them. Not even a single Jew has been hurt by me in any way. And here these people are coming and they're complaining against me. You know, they're hurling all kinds of accusations in my direction. That certainly is the simple pshat in pasuk, but the Meshech Chochma gives a different pshat, and he backs up the pshat with a certain psychology. And I found at least the psychology over here very fascinating and one that rings very true. Lo Ariosius Achad Mehem. Again, it's the next to last paragraph from the bottom on page Shin Mem Ches. Yitochen, perhaps the way to explain the pasuk is as follows. Ki ha-mishtabchim ba'anova, those who are falsely humble, they don't have true humility, but they try to project themselves as being humble. They try to put on a face of being humble. Va'anvasonusam hipchusa. But, you know, in point of fact, they're not really as humble as they let on. So they often do the following. Mekarvin u'machniyim atzmon, l'misha hu shofel harde mimeno b'mal oso, mechabkim u'menashkim oso. Somebody who's just pretending to be humble will often humble themselves relative to someone else who's really very, very low. Right? In other words, low in stature, or, you know, lower importance or the like. In other words, you know, this person will demonstrate how seemingly humble he is, that he will speak to a beggar on the street, you know, with such tremendous humility and the like, and he'll hug him and he'll kiss him. And all the time, people around him take a look and they say, oh, look at that guy, he's such an honor. You know, look at the way he humbles himself in front of this beggar. Abo Mishu Be'erka. But someone who's on the same madrega as them, in other words, someone who's considered to be their equal, or erech yoser gavola, or someone who is on a higher level than them, ashe yitafe litoz ki achna eno mitzad ha'anava, nak mitzad ha'tzedek v'animus. Here, if you were to humble yourself vis-a-vis that person, onlookers might think, it's not that the guy's so humble, he's just makir esoemes. He just, you know, he's just acknowledging the truth that, yeah, you know, I'm nothing relative to this guy. When you say I'm nothing relative to the beggar, so then everybody who's watching says, wow, what a humble guy. I mean, it's obvious that you're on a higher social level than the beggar. It's obvious that, you know, you're humbling yourself in his presence. It's just a display of humility. So everybody sees that and say, wow. And they say, wow, what a humble guy. But if you humble yourself vis-a-vis somebody who's really an Adam Gadol, so people don't think, wow, what a display of humility. You know, they think, yeah, what an appropriate, a display of proper character traits. Because, yes, you really are nothing or something, less than something vis-a-vis this Adam Gadol. Shiploni Gavoa v'Rami Meno B'Mailo. Right? The person that you humble, you know, the other person is indeed higher than you in terms of his stature. Le'elu merachakan u'mashpilon ba'ar maso u'miskabek diklono. Davka, with regard to those persons, to those people, this plaster saint, so to speak, this guy who's trying to present himself as being a tremendous anav, he treats them with tremendous disdain. Right? He doesn't relate to them, you know, with the proper humility. You know, he puts them down, you know, in a sense. Right? You know, it's a fascinating insight over here, because in other words, if your humility is genuine, so you will be humbled before everyone. If your humility is not genuine, and the point of your humility is just, so to speak, to score points with people who are looking on, and, you know, you want to try to display how humble you are, you will davka be humble, says the Meshech Chachma, with those people who are of a very low stature, because then you can show off your humility. For you to show humility vis-a-vis someone who's greater than you in stature will not be interpreted as humility. It will be just interpreted as an appropriate display of midos tovos. So you don't score any points from that. And Adarava, the person who, you know, has the psychological need to demonstrate his humility, is probably embarrassed in the presence of those people who are indeed really greater than him. So he resents having to, you know, humble himself and lower himself in their presence. That's a fascinating insight, you know, that these people who are not really humble tend to be humble with the lowlives, you know. In other words, they're not humble with the people that they really should be humble to by anybody's account. So with that insight in mind, says the Meshech Chachma, you can read our pasuk in the following way. Lo kein Adonenu Moshe. Now, Moshe Rabbeinu, of course, was not this plaster saint, this faker of an anova. Who are your anov amiti? You know, Moshe Rabbeinu was a true anov. V'lo kine lahamis nabim b'machane. V'yisparel ki yasil Hashem al hazikeinim b'rach nevuah. I mean, the biggest example of Moshe Rabbeinu's humility, appears towards the end of Parshas Va'aloscha, right? Eldor u'meidor misnabim b'machane. Right? All of a sudden, these individuals are going around and they're expressing a nevuah in the camp. Now, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu really could have had a very strong reaction to Eldad and Medad, because after all, they're usurping his position, you know, they're sharing a nevuah that he wasn't privy to, maybe their nevuah in some way shows up Moshe Rabbeinu, especially when we consider Chazal's tradition as to the content of the nevuah, like we spoke about last week, that Eldad and Medad went around saying, Moshe Meis, Yoshua Machnis La'aretz, right, the content of the nevuah, I mean, it wasn't just, you know, stocks are going up, you know, or gasoline prices are going up, in which case they're probably not Nevi'im, you know, they're just, you know, they just pulled into a gas station recently, right? You know, but, you know, they give over a Nevuah, which is, you know, could be interpreted as a real criticism of Moshe Rabbeinu, or a real attempt to kind of pull the rug out from Moshe Rabbeinu. You know, if Moshe Rabbeinu could have had a taina on them, you know, if he would have had a taina on them, he would have certainly been justified. And yet the anivus of Moshe Rabbeinu was that even these people who clearly were not chusei erech, you know, they were not just beggars in the street. These were people who were on par and maybe in a certain respect, you know, in this respect, even maybe superseded Moshe Rabbeinu, that they were given a nevuah which he wasn't privy to. His reaction is total acceptance. And, you know, he doesn't get angry in the slightest, and he doesn't have the slightest amount of kinna. That's true anivus. V'zesha omar v'lo hariosi es achad mehem. So maybe that's what it means in our pasuk. Not that I didn't harm a single one of them, but rather ki mishkol echad nemar al harov al hamiyuchad v'gadol shibohem. K'mo shekosuv kimat shochav achad ha'om es ishtecha. Right? The term achad can be used not only in terms of a single one of them, but the singular one among them. And the Meshech Chachma quotes a pasuk in Bereishis by Avraham Avinu, where the way Chazal interpreted, after Avraham Avinu goes down to Gerar, and you know, again the whole episode, you know, Sarah is taken, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to Avimelech b'chalom alayla in a dream in the middle of the night, and he tells him, you know, wait a minute, this is an Eishes Ish. This is a married woman. So Avimelech, you know, the king of Gerar, goes back to Avraham Avinu afterwards, and he says, you know, this was a bad thing you did. One of the nation might have been intimate with your wife. And you would have brought upon us guilt. So says Rashi, what's achad ha'am? What does it mean, one of the people? It doesn't mean one of the people. It means I, the king, achad ha'miyuchad shiba'am. It means the singular one among the nation. It means the guy at the top, right? That's what achad ha'am means. You know, the one who's up at the top of the nation. So similarly, based on that Rashi, Rashi Chochma says over here, v'lo hariosius achad mehem, not just that I didn't harm a single Jew, but I didn't even react with kinna and with a sense of hatred towards the people on a high madrigal, like Eldad Umeda, Shigam HaGedolim B'mayla, Lo Piches Ma'alosam. Moshe Rabbeinu's Anivus was that even the people who were high up, he didn't take away from their madrigal in any way. Adiraga, Hosif HaMa'alosam Ukvodam. Right, if anything, Moshe Rabbeinu did everything to build up the people around him, even the people who might have been threats to the standing of Moshe Rabbeinu himself. And that's what he says to the Ribbono Shel Olam, Lo Hariosius Achad Mehem. Not only did I not harm the disadvantaged, but I didn't even harm those who, you know, might have been perceived as high-ranking individuals who might have been threats to my position itself. Again, a very interesting insight and interesting way of reading the pasuk. Okay, a little bit further in the pasuk, in the parasha. Moshe Rabbeinu goes to Korach, and he says, "Ato v'chol adoscha," in Pasuk Tezayin, you and your entire congregation, "Hayu lufnei Hashem, ato v'hem v'aron mocha." Right? You should be together with them and Aaron tomorrow. "V'kuchu ish machtaso," everybody should take a censer, a fire pan. "V'nesatem aleim k'taras," right? Everyone should put incense in it. "V'kravtem lufnei Hashem ish machtaso, chamish v'masai machtos." And 250 men should bring an offering of ktaras, ato v'aron ish machtaso, and you and Aaron will also bring each person ktaras in their fire pan. Right? And then the bringing of ktaras will serve as the test by which HaKadosh Baruch Hu demonstrates whom he picked and whom he's not picking. Ayin Rashi, right? The next Meshech Chochma says, Ayin Rashi, take a look in Rashi. Why was incense the vehicle through which, you know, the showdown between the 250 men and Aaron was ultimately carried out? Why after the Ketores? Right? So the Meshech Chochma offers the following interesting interpretation of the Psukim and also of the role of the Ketores over here. L'dayti yitochei. Ki haresh nun ish, ha-mosayim ha-chamishim ish, ha-yu ha-nesim, elitzor ben shteyor v'chaverov. Who it is 250 men? Right? So, the Meshech Chochma says, and this is actually a medrash in Bamidbar Rabbah, the Meshech Chochma suggests that the 250 men included the other nesim of the other matos. Right? Nachshon ben Aminadov was not included. Right? But other than Nachshon ben Aminadov, who we know was a tzaddik, who was related to Aaron, who was his brother-in-law, right? Aaron was married to Elisheva, who was the sister of Nachshon ben Aminadov. Right? Other than Nachshon ben Aminadov, Elitzor ben Shteyer, the other Nesim, who are mentioned in the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar, and their Chaverim were presumably these 250 people. What's that? Right, so he's suggesting that not. In other words, that not there were other people there as well besides the Matthew Reuben. Dasan and Aviram, right? Dasan and Aviram were from Bnei Reuben. But if you take a look at the pesuk in the beginning of the parasha, Vekach Korach ben Yitzhar ben Kos ben Levi, the Dasan and Aviram Bnei Aliyavam ben Pelos Bnei Reuben. Right, so there were certain representatives from Levi and Reuben. Vayakumu lifnei Moshe, Anoshim bnei Yisrael. Chamishim u'mosayim, right? And the pasuk seems to be meduyok. In other words, whereas the first pasuk indicated the shvatim that they were from, the second pasuk just talks about people from Bnei Yisrael. It would have been the easiest thing for the pasuk to have said v'anoshim b'nei Reuven chamishim u'mosayim, and the pasuk says nesiei edo kriyei moed anshei shem. Right? So we usually assume nesiei edo just means, you know, high-ranking people. But here, again, the Meshech Chochma, based on the Medrash, tells us, no, Nesi'e Eda means what it says. I mean, the term Nesi'e Eda means the Nesi'im of the congregation. So in other words, the whole list of Nesi'im, who brought their Karbanos, right? Way back in Parshas Noso at the end, they participate in the Chanukah Sal Mishkan, and we lay about them on Hanukkah, you know, and we hold them in such high regard. Those Nesiei Ho'eda were among, they weren't all of them, but I mean, they were among the 250 Makrivei Haktoras who were mentioned in the Parsha. How did these Nesiim go from being Nesiim to being, you know, killed in such a horrific fashion and being involved in a rebellion against Moshe Rabbeinu? So, says Meshach Chochmah, I'll tell you the story. The role kichinchu ha-mishkan, the skabel rosam karbaneim. Because after all, the Nesiim had a, you know, they had a little bit of an ego boost. They brought their karbanos to the Chanukah ha-mishkan, to the dedication of the Mishkan. And they saw that their karbanos were accepted. And they started thinking, as we'll see in a moment, the Meshach Chochmah, that, you know what, if our karbanos were what launched the career of the Mishkan, we must be really important people. I bet we're even more important than the Kohanim. And we'll prove it, say the Reish Nun Anoshim. V'inei mani krivu chathas olo shlavim. What did the Nesiim bring? So if you look at the list, that's repeated 12 times over, in Parashas Noso, they brought a carbon chathas, they brought a carbon olo, brought a carbon shlavim. Zegam Aaron hikrib biyom harishon shmini lumilui, kumashikasa rei shmini, okay. So Aaron HaKali also brought a chathas and olo nishlamin. But the Nesiim brought one thing that Aaron and his sons did not bring. Rak Taras Yachid, lo matzanu shiye karev l'shum adam, rak l'Nesiim bilfav, shemi shelohem yikrifu. K'mo the Amar b'menachos da'afnun of the Sifri, right? The one thing that the Nesiim brought, which was really unique to the Nesiim, was Kitaris. They brought, every Nasi brought incense as part of his karbon of Chanukah Samishkot. Katachas, Asaraza of Malaya Kitores, right, as is repeated many, many times, you know, 12 times over in Parshas Noso. And the Gemara makes clear that they brought their own private carbon of Kitores, right? They brought the Kitores as a carbon yachid, as an individual carbon. The Chol Kitores yachid shalot nimsir al tzibur Kitores zara. The Nodav Avion Nisrif Wayek de Akitores. There is no other example of a private individual bringing Kitaris. The only other time that Kitaris is brought is, you know, as a carbon sibur, you know, as the Kohen, as the representative of Klal Yisrael bringing Kitaris. What's the one glaring example where Kitaris as an individual carbon results in tragedy? It's not the Vavil. Right? Like, Akriv Lufnei Hashem, Eish Zara, Asher Lotziva Osam. It's very clear from the context that they were in Taurus, Vayikach Shnei B'nei Aaron, Nodav Avil, Ishmach Tasa. Right? They brought Ketores as a private carbon, and that ended in tragedy. So in other words, the Nesiim, seeing this whole scene unfold, at the time of the Chanukah Samishkan, they take a look and they say, wait a minute. So we're able to bring our own Ketores, and we're unscathed. Nodav and Avil, the two sons of the Kohen Gadol, bring their own private Ketores, and they're killed. Boy, we must be special. We must be something else. We must be higher than Kohanim. Lochein olo b'daitam shema alosam gedolu v'maylas ha-Kohanim. So the Nesiim convinced themselves that we must be greater than Kohanim. V'zeu she'amru kol ha'eda, zeu ha-Nesiim, kulam kedoshim, u'v'socham Hashem. So now go back to the psukim at the beginning of Parshas Korach, says the Meshech Chochmah, and you reread the taina of the 250 men in a totally new way. It says, Pasuk Gimel, Vayikalu, all of these people came together, the Nesiei Edo, they came together, Al Moshe v'Al Aaron, Vayomer Aleihem Rav Lachem, enough with you, enough with the Bnei Levi and the Kohanim. Right, now the way we normally read that pasuk is they come as standard bearers of democracy. Everybody's holy. What do you mean everybody? Everybody. Right? Who's everybody? Yeah, every schlepper is on the same madrega as Moshe and Aaron. Says Meshach Chochmah, no, that's not what they meant. I mean, how could you think that they meant that? Every schlepper is on the madrega Moshe and Aaron? When they say Kol Ha'eda, they were not, you know, arguing for democracy. They were arguing for themselves. Kol Ha'eda, the whole nation, really means themselves, the Nesiim, the representatives of the Eda, and their argument is not just based on a democratic ethos, but rather it's based on what they think is a sound halachic basis. We brought Ketores, and we lived. Nadav and Avihu brought Ketores, and they died. So ergo, we are on a much higher madrego. Uvesocham Hashem. Hashem is among us, because we participated in the Chanukas HaMishkan. We brought Hashem's Shechina down into the Machaneh, down into the camp. So we are pretty special indeed, right? They're coming from a, you know, they have a reasonable argument. So says the Meshech Chachma, Lochein Omar Shiyasu Bochan Al Yedei Ketores, Shavuot Et Misparim. So now we can understand my Moshe Rabbeinu goes to the Nesi'im, and he says, okay, so you think that your superiority over the Kohanim is based on your ability to bring Ketores? So let's revisit the seat of the crime. Right? So let's all bring Ketores. You think that you have this Ketores bringing ability that far surpasses that of the Kohanim? Good. Let's put it to the test. You know, your whole mistake comes about from thinking that you have a special relationship with the Ketores. Let's test it out. V'lochein omar b'medrash v'kovako sh'omar v'ayihi eino elef sara u'porich mi'vayihi amachri v'yomar isho u'mitareit sh'ohochel isarv machlokis korach pirush ki al yedei ze ha'karbon tov machlokis korach ki ze sibol l'sreif fosam. And the Meshech Chachma takes this idea, which he's developing, and he plugs it into a very interesting medrash. Right, the medrash says, and this actually is a Gemara and Megillah we'll get to eventually, the Gemara says that there's a difference between V'hoya and Vayehi. Right, V'hoya and Vayehi, which on the surface both mean, and it was, right, but V'hoya always indicates something positive. Vayehi, you can hear the word Vay in there, woe, Vayehi is always associated with tsaros and punishment and puranas and, you know, all these kinds of terrible things. So in fact, Medrash, what are you talking about? I have a Vayehi which is associated with good things. When it talks about the Chanukas HaMishka, it says, Vayehi amakri vayom arisha et karbon and asha ben aminadov. It came to pass that the one who brought his karbon on the first day was asha ben aminadov. So it says Vayehi over there. What could be there about the Nesi'im bringing their karbonos? And answers the Medrash, you know what could be bad about the Nesi'im bringing their karbonos? Because the Nesi'im bringing their karbonos ultimately brought about their deaths with the machlokis of Korach. Shehochin lisarif machlokis Korach. Now, on the surface, you know, before you saw this Meshech Chachma, it's difficult to understand that Medrash. Let's even say that the Medrash is working with the assumption that the Nesi'im were the same, were part of the 250 men, and they died as part of the revolution against Korach. Okay, but why mention that tragedy when the Nesi'im are still bringing their karbanos for Chanukas HaMishkan? I mean, that has nothing to do with the events of Korach, seemingly. So says the Meshech Chachma, no, that's what the Medrash wants to bring out. Because ultimately, the seeds of the rebellion of these 250 men of the Nesi'im against Moshe Rabbeinu, the seeds of that rebellion are planted when they bring their karbanos for Chanukas HaMishkan. Because it's that event and their ability to bring Taurus without being harmed which gets the wheels turning in their heads. You know, maybe we are better than the Kohanim. So Vayehi, the whole cycle of tsaros and difficulties and the like, all begins with the Nesi'im bringing their karbanos to the Mishkan, and that ultimately ends up with us in Parshas Korach.
Why did Moshe have to famous for how that Hashem shouldn't take their karbon? Because, first of all, Hashem was on his side anyway. He was on Hashem's side, Hashem was on his side. And not only that, but whatever they did, it was like a mitzvah for their bearer, because their whole purpose in doing that was to usurp Moshe, to worry the Malchus. So why would it, so someone said that you can't minimize the kayach of tefillah or bringing a carpet, but still their whole purpose So why do you need to resign from Rabbeinu Shalom?
I think you see from the way, every way Moshe Rabbeinu expresses it, Moshe Rabbeinu says to Rabbeinu Shalom, don't accept their carbon. Why? Because I haven't abused the people in any way. Mashma, that had he abused the people, even if the rebellion against him was Shalom L'Shem Shammai, the rebellion might have had a chance of succeeding. Because the Rebbeinu Shalom might have come and said, yeah, they're Shalom L'Shem Shammai, but you're not doing your proper job as a leader either. So maybe you deserve to be taken out. Right? So in other words, it's time to the Rebbeinu Shalom, but Lo Chamar Echad Mehem Nasasi, you know, I didn't abuse my power in any way, you know, shows us what might have been effective in theory about, you know, the rebellion.
So does it also show that he's modesty because he said, because he had a hamina that it might be kedai to take him out? In other words, he might have a mistake.
No, I think it shows Moshe Rabbeinu's modesty as well. Yeah, So that's the... That's the Vayehi, again, this fascinating Medrash, that the Medrash itself, according to the Meshech Chochma, traces the roots of the rebellion of Korach back to that woe, that Vayehi, which introduces the carbon of the Nesiim. V'yitochen, ki Nachshon lohoyo biyocholto lahasiro mito'usam. Now it's possible that Nachshon was unable to convince the other Nesiim of their mistake, m'nei shehoyo giso shel Adam. The Omer Shalakovat Balachoso Dorish, right? Similar to what the Meshech Chochma spoke about last time, that Yoshua couldn't dissuade the people to not listen to the Meraglim, because after all, the people were going in with the idea that Moshe was going to die and Yoshua was going to bring them into Eretz Yisrael. Here too, Nachshon was, you know, ill equipped to dissuade the other Nesiim from rising up against Moshe and Aaron, because they said, look, he's Aaron's brother-in-law. So, you know, of course he's going to be in Moshe and Aaron's side. He's Mishpacha. And maybe going back all the way to Parshas Bo'era, maybe that's why the Torah bothers telling us that Aaron and Nachshon are brothers-in-law, so that we can better understand, you know, how Nachshon is not able to dissuade the other Nesiim, you know, when it comes to the whole machlokas of Korach a little bit later on in the Chumash. Right? So it's a very, very beautiful, I mean, the Meshech Chochma brings together an unusual medrash, some diukim and the psukim, and really helps us understand the role of the Ketores in a totally new light, in understanding, in just a whole new understanding, in the very roots of the rebellion against Moshe Rabbeinu. A follow-up idea with regard to the Ketores, if you take a look at the bottom of that page, Vayichlu Ish Machtaso, Vayitnu Aleim Eish, Vayasimu Aleim Ketores, Vayamdu Pesach Olam Oleid, right? Nearly, comments the Meshech Chochma, the last paragraph, Lefi Pashtas Aksubim, Ki Korach lo hikter Ketores. Did Korach bring Ketores or not? So he was certainly told to bring Ketores. Again, if you look back in the Pasuk, you know, in Pasuk Tezayin, Ata b'chol ha... Vayom Moshe Korach, Ata b'chol ha-doscha, Heyu l'fnei Hashem, Ato v'hem v'aron mochar, right? Ukhu ishmachtoso, v'ato v'aron ishmachtoso, right? The Korach is told explicitly, you take a machta, you take a fire pan, put Ketores in it, and bring it as a sacrifice. However, when it actually comes time to bring the Ketores, in Pasuk Yudches, Vayikhu Ishmach Toso, each person takes his fire pin, Vayasimu Alaim Eish, Vayasimu Alaim Ketores, Vayamdu Pesach Olam Oiv, Vayakel Alaim Korach is Kol Ho'eta. Then Korach went and gathered the entire nation, right? And again, when we continue reading and we find out about the death of Korach, Korach is swallowed up, the 250 people with the Ketores are killed by a heavenly fire, right? The impression you get is that Korach is not actually bringing the Ketores. So that's Meshech Chochma says that's correct. But if he passed the Tzatzuvim, ki Korach lo hiktir Ketores, right? Shelo hiskiro, shelo kach hiktir. It doesn't say anything in the Pesuk about Korach actually following through with the Ketores, despite the fact that he had been told explicitly to do so by Moshe Rabbeinu. V'cheimuchach v'parshas Pinchas, if you look a little bit later in Parshas Pinchas, it says, V'asivla usam v'yeskorach, v'achol ho'esh es chamishu mosayim ish. It talks about how the earth swallowed up Korach, and the fire destroyed the 250 people who brought the Ketores. In other words, Korach and the Mevi HaKetores are very clearly separated in the pasuk later on in Parshas Pinchas. Well, we'll see. So hold that point. So why is that? Why was Korach not included? Why did he not bring Ketores, and why was he not included in the punishment of the Machri HaKetores? So he says as follows: Ki aran ish hayu anoshim gedolei Yisrael. Right, as we learned in the previous Meshech Chokhma, these 250 people were gedolim. They were great people. They made a big mistake, but they were great people. They were the Nesiim and their colleagues. Again, they were called Nesiim Edo, Kriyei Moed, Anshei Sheng. V'yoholchim b'tumom laharos b'nisayim yu ha'kodesh. And when the 250 people signed up to bring the Ketores, they really did so to some extent innocently. In other words, they really thought, we are greater than the Kohanim, as he explained before. And we really should be in charge of Klal Yisrael. And they thought, that they would actually demonstrate that through bringing the Ketores. Ki choshvu ke'enam noflim b'malosim mehem. Madu yipardim yos Kohanim gedol levim la'olam. They really thought that they were deserving of being Kohanim, Levim, and the like. The kasher amar lo emoshe sheyaktiru Ketores. V'zeh yodia Hashem es asher lo. When Moshe Rabbeinu told them to bring Torah so as to prove who belonged to Hashem, also take it. Kasher tziva if by kasher tziva vichu ishmach daso omdim hochein lekabel hofoas hakdushim umkara kedushus Hashem yisparach. They don't miss a beat, right? In the pasuk again, you look back in the pasuk, they're told to take machtos, and the very next pasuk is vayichu ishmach daso. They run out, they get their machtos, and they're good to go. Now again, if they were fakers, if they knew in their heart of hearts that, you know what, we really know that Moshe and Aaron are really greater than us, they would have hesitated, they would have tried to buy out of it, But no, they really think, again, they're misguided, but they really think somewhat innocently that they're really entitled. They indeed think that they're entitled to be Kohanim and Levim. They jump at the opportunity to bring Ketores and to connect to the Ribbono Shel Olam in that way, because again, as Meshech Chochma explained before, they think they are uniquely positioned to bring Ketores to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So they say, great, wonderful idea, Moshe Rabbeinu. However, Lo Chein Korach. Korach was of a different ilk. Who are your Baal Machlokes, Kedosan Baviram? Who are your Mekane Gesone, Mekin Oso Lemoshe? Asher Sinom Neakino Entrufo Lemakoso? Korach was just a rabble rouser. With Dosan Baviram, he hated Moshe, he was jealous of Moshe. There was no Lashem Shomayim in Korach's opposition to Moshe Rabbeinu. Again, the way the Meshech Chochma portrays things, the 250 people were misguided Lashem Shomayim Nicks. Korach and Dosan Baviram were, the goons, who... Again, Korach was, it also depends which Mepharshim you read, but Korach was an Adam Gadol also, but again, relatively speaking, the Meshech Chochma's portrayal of Korach is, he's more, he's the guy...
Enough, I guess.
Yeah, he stirs up the pot, his motivations are not the Shem Shemayim. Mechate Falilo Sal Moshe. He was looking for excuses to pull down Moshe. Lahakin maloso ve'erko esel ha'om, to diminish him and demean him in the front of the people. Daito hoya shalo ishmo el Moshe mashi yadavir. And when Moshe Rabbeinu comes to Korach and says, we're going to make a test, and you're going to take a fire pan, and you're going to put, Ketores on it and whatnot, Korach's reaction is, you're going to tell me what to do? Who are you? The whole point is, we're rebelling against you. Don't you get it? Moshe Rabbeinu, you're not going to tell us what to do. I'm not going to listen to that. Like, hey, my Yivcharu, below who? If there's going to be a test, we will pick the test. We're thinking like a potato sack races or something like that. We pick the test. You don't pick the test. Hey, my Yomer lo mashiyase, shezeyya b'chino b'han yisoyon. Moshe Rabbeinu, we'll tell you what the test is. You don't tell us. Lochein loar, b'shofach buzal adan ish. So what happens in the end of the day, says the Meshech Chachma, there develops a split between Korach and the 250 men. The split doesn't last for long because they all die in very short order, right? But you know, but at the, towards the end, Korach starts making fun of the 250 men. Leimor saying, "Halo atem choshtim et ben Avram." Your whole rebellion is that you don't trust Moshe Rabbeinu. You don't believe Moshe Rabbeinu. So now Moshe Rabbeinu says jump, and your response is how high? Bring Torahs, sure, we'll bring Torahs. Wait a minute, what are you doing? Moshe Rabbeinu, what are you listening to him for? B'tesha Omer, v'yakel aleihem Korach es kol ha'eda. So, a beautiful interpretation in Pasuk. It says, again, back in the Pasuk, that Korach gathered upon them the entire nation. Right? So, the word aleihem is meant in the sense of against them. Against whom? Right? So, to whatever, I think the standard shot would be against Moshe and Aaron. Right? But the immediate, the pasuk before was talking about the 250 men. So says the Meshech Chochma, you know what it means? By Yakel Aleihem, Korach gathered the rest of Klal Yisrael to make fun of the 250 men. In those last moments, right before the moments of truth, Korach turned around and he said, you guys are a bunch of, you know, you don't know what you're doing.
Sissies.
Right? Yeah, you're a bunch of sissies. You know, you say you're against Moshe Rabbeinu, and now you're just going like pussycats the minute that he says to do something. So Korach brings the rest of the Eidah, the rest of the congregation, to, you know, to poke fun at the 250 men. Ha'inu al haran ish ki el es kol adas Yisrael. La'halig aleihem. Masha hayu lochim aktaras to make fun of them. Falsu kasher dider Moshe. Lochein amru ha'ish echa yecheta zeu Korach levado. So that's what Moshe Rabbeinu goes and with Aaron goes back to the Ribbono Shel Olam a few psukim later. Vayiplu apreim vayomru keil elokei aruchos lecholbasa. Moshe and Aaron fall on their faces and they say, "Oh God, ha'ish echa yechta v'yakol eido tipsof." Shall one man sin, and you will be angry at the whole nation? What do you mean one man sins? I counted at least 250 people sinning. Right? But it's a difference. Moshe and Aaron recognize the difference. The 250 men are somewhat l'shem shamayim. Right? Maybe even entirely l'shem shamayim. Just a misguided l'shem shamayim. It's Korach who's the rabble rouser. So ha'ish echad yechta. You know, what do you have tainas against this one person who's sinning? And that says the Meshech Chochma explains what happens to the machtos, to the fire pans of the 250 men, that ultimately they become a covering for the Mizbeach. If these people were a bunch of, you know, crazy rabble rousers, so Mechatesi, you know, why would the Ribbono Shel Olam want to take their pans, the signs of their rebellion, and put them onto the Mizbeach? So the answer is, says the Meshech Chochma, because the Ribbono Shel Olam, as much as he punished these 250 men, as much as he recognized that they were misguided and they were wrong in what they did, but they were motivated l'shem shamayim, Korach becomes a byword for rebellion and for, you know, a terrible attitude. The 250 men were tzaddikim, they were nesiim, they were great people. They made a mistake, but they still deserve, and they wanted to come close to the Ribbono Shel Olam, they deserve to have their fire pans put in a place of glory, you know, to be hammered together with the Mizbeach.
So, what did the 250 want? They wanted to replace Moshe?
They wanted to replace the Kohanim. In other words, and they argued that we're more qualified than the Kohanim, because after all, the Kohanim bring Torahs on their own, and they die, Nodav Aviyu. We bring Torahs. We live. We're responsible for the dedication of the Mishkan.
Did the Eishta himself appoint the Kohanim and add Kohanim?
Right, so their argument would be that we're not getting the full story. That you tell us that the Kohanim were appointed to be Kohanim. We know better. No,
it's still a paradox. You know, I'm greater than you, but part of being greater than you is being humbler.
Yeah, okay. But, you know, they were wrong. I mean, at the end of the day, they're wrong. But the Meshech Chacham is arguing that, you know, they were more L'shem Shamayim than one might think, you know, reading the story. And certainly relative to Korach, they are more L'shem Shamayim. Right. So I think ultimately over here, Moshe Rabbeinu was saying it's not really my fight; it's the fight of the Ribbono Shel Olam himself. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu ultimately picked Moshe and Aaron. You know, we're not just sticking up for ourselves. Ultimately, you, Hashem, are sticking up for the choices that you made. For whatever reason, you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, chose Moshe and Aaron. You know, so we're asking you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to stand behind that choice. I guess, again, because he's saying it's not my battle, it's ultimately your battle.
Is this one of the times when Moshe Rabbeinu acted on his own initiative because he knew he was doing the right thing? It looked like by the Luchos, when he drove the Luchos. He knew automatically what the right thing was. He wasn't told what to do, but he knew what to do.
Yeah, Chazal don't mention it, but this would seem to fall into that category also. Okay. Wish everyone a good Shabbos, and, you know, enjoy reading Parshas Korach.
You don't have a minyan, right?